pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Friday. Friday, it is finally Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the Ascension Technologies text line. You want to be in touch with the program, hit us up there. Still to come about 30 minutes from now from Alabama Today, April Murray Fogel. Then in the 11 o'clock hour, we got Congressman Gary Palmer fresh off his border visit. And we will wrap it up with our returning champion, as we do every Friday, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, as I said. But joining us now, always a privilege to hear from our friend from the Alabama Policy Institute, Stephanie Holden-Smith, joins us on the line. Stephanie, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. The sun is shining in Birmingham. It's cold, but at least the sun's out. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it's brisk down this way too, and then I think we're gonna have a little wind to deal with a little later. But such as it goes, this close to the coast. You got a new report out, a comprehensive educational freedom report. Focusing on the philosophical belief, and I think it's a good one, that the parents ought to have the bulk of the control of what's best for knowing what's best or deciding what's best for their children versus the government, who right now, for better or for worse, but this is kind of the reality, the government's taking such a large role in a child's life, because in some places or in some, you know, localities, some situations, parents just kind of given up on their duties or responsibilities, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of community schools has been around since, you know, schools have been around. And so, you know, even in America in the early, you know, settler and frontier days, the school and the church were kind of the centers of community. That really hasn't changed. What I think has changed is just kind of an attitude with some parents of like, you know, this is your responsibility, school or state or teacher, instead of the child rearing being, you know, the parent's responsibility and the parental directive. But what we're trying to do with the school choice report and with, you know, a discussion about school choice is kind of shift the thought process back to what we think is biblical, but it's back to the idea that parents are really the only ones that should be in charge of the raising and the education of their children. Who they decide to partner with for that purpose would be up to them instead of up to the state. And this is a movement that's been, you know, kind of taking over the nation, frankly, in the last several years. There were 10 states last year that made major moves as far as, you know, increasing educational freedom. It's been discussed in the past in Alabama. API has been for school choice, you know, for decades, way before I got here. But the question now has kind of shifted to who should actually be in charge of the decision making for children. And there are some folks that genuinely and wholeheartedly believe that it's the state of Alabama's responsibility to bring up and educate children. And we disagree with that. We think that it's a parental responsibility. Will there be parents that fail? Absolutely. There should be safety nets and guardrails in place to protect kids when that happens. But the vast majority of parents, you know, should be in the driver's seat as far as the decision-making on where their kids go to school and how they're raised.
Well, what occurs to me on this whole discussion, and you know, school choice, the people of Alabama want school choice, they should have school choice. But the people who are against school choice aren't pure on this. It does seem like there's a money grab here underway, right? That they're afraid. I mean, it's a turf battle, a turf war,
whatever.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not in it for the philosophical reasons. I think a lot of them aren't, that they state. They're not honest about this discussion at all. And I mean, like, we can have a talk about school choice being the right thing to do or not, mm-hmm. and there's ways to do it, I think. But these people who are against it are not being honest with us for their reasoning of being. And that includes the teachers union, I think.
Yeah, no question. I mean, when I went to, you know, speak at legislative committee hearings and testify last year on the piece of school choice legislation that we helped draft last year, the opposition that was standing up on the other side, and those of y'all who have been to Montgomery understand it's like a pro-con. And so the people who were on the other side were the Superintendents Association, the State Board Association, the School Board Association, and the Teachers Union. And the interesting thing about that is that's the educational apparatus. But it's not the educational apparatus of the people that are actually tasked with educating kids. Their entire goal as membership organizations is to protect the turf of their members. And so there hasn't been a lot of opposition to the idea of school choice by the people who are actually in charge of educating, in public education. It's the folks that are in charge of making sure that their members get better pay and better benefits. And the frustrating thing about that is that there's not really a discussion or consideration about what might be best for kids. And the like I said, the frustrating thing about that is that legislators should be looking out for children as a collective. I completely agree with that. But you have to revert back to this idea that we are pushing, which is parents are really in charge of their kids. There have been great teachers in my life. There have been people who have coaches and mentors and people that have had a huge and significant impact in my life and my kids' lives, but they're not the parents. And so, the parents know the children's needs the best, and they need to be in the driver's seat on making those decisions.
And here's the thing, put these people aside who I don't think are being honest at all. There's also this weird sort of, and we talked about this, philosophical belief that the parents can't even take care of themselves. And you need the person with the teaching degree from the University of South Alabama or whatever, really parenting your child. That we're the educated right. ones. We're the philosopher kings. We know what's best. We know what's best for your child. You just make sure they get here on time and you pick them up mm-hmm. on time, and we'll take it from here.
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of that expert mentality. We're the experts. You know, you just leave it to us. And frankly, that might be a valid argument if our public school systems were wildly successful, but they're not. We have pumped 84% increase into the public school system in the last decade, and our numbers are about the same. We're still just hovering near last. And so that argument is pretty laughable, frankly. It's an incorrect philosophical argument regardless, but if the state was, absolutely killing it and we're in the top five on every measurement, that argument would have a lot more merit. The other frustrating thing that I keep hearing is this question about accountability measures, because here's the truth of it. In the public school system, which is a monopoly, in the public school system, if a school is failing, if a school is failing their students, there are very, very few accountability measures. What happens is that we actually just give them more money. And so the frustrating thing about that argument is you don't want to give money back to the parents to make a decision about how their kids ought to be educated. What you want to do is, prop up this, what I would argue is a failing system in many areas. And then if they continue to fail, you just give them more money. There are no changes involved. There are no accountability measures or clawbacks in the situation, as far as the public schools go. So I'm not sure why there would be increased or additional accountability measures for private schools or homeschools or parents than there are for public schools are currently.
Let's talk about school choice and implementation. So your report here, universal school choice, you think is the ultimate destination. How do you yeah. get there? And this is where talking to some lawmakers, some just want to go day one universal school choice. And then there's right. others who want to kind of phase it in over time. And then there's some who don't want to go that far. Where is step one for you guys?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with an incremental plan as far as bringing ESA's educational savings account into the system, into the process. I'm okay with not having a rip off the Band-Aid approach. And what I mean by that is have universal be the goal within 3 to 5 years instead of doing it exact, in the first year of implementation. I think that that's wise. I think that that's something that we can learn from other states as far as, their implementation, it has been a little bumpy in a couple of different states. And so we can learn from their mistakes. What I have trouble with is the folks that argue that there are certain kids who deserve this and certain kids who don't. That's a troubling argument from an elected official to me. And so I don't think that we should be picking winners and losers amongst children. And I don't think that we should be choosing what types of kids should have the ability to choose where they go to school. So that's why we're for universal school choice. It doesn't have to get, it doesn't have to arrive in 5 minutes, but I think that that has to be the ultimate goal. And the restrictions on that tend to be demographic, racial, types of students, whether or not they're special needs or not, whether or not their parents were veterans, things like that. And we just don't think that it's a wise course of action to pick winners and losers amongst children in the state of Alabama. We think that every single child in the state of Alabama deserves a good education. And every single child in the state of Alabama deserves the ability to opt out of the monopoly that is the public school system if their parents see fit.
And you believe this, though, that this will inevitably make the public school system, the struggling parts of it, somehow are I guess it's a market principle, right? That they will inevitably in the long term figure it out and be on the road to some kind of improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're seeing in other states who are implementing this. This is not an effort to defund public schools. This is not an effort to take down public schools. And that hasn't happened in any of the other states that public school choice has been implemented. And so we can learn from what they've done in the past 20 years in Florida. We can learn from what's happening in Iowa and Ohio and Utah and all of these other states that have already walked before us in this area. And here's the bare bones truth. Most people stay where they are. The take-up rates are between 1 and 5%. We're not talking about a huge exodus from the public schools, nor would we want there to be a huge exodus from the public schools. We are wanting parents who want this option to be able to take it. And that's really going to be a pretty small percentage of the state, but we want it to be universally available if and when there's a situation where a parent feels like that's not the right decision for their child for that year without having to uproot their entire family to change school systems. And frankly, there are a lot of, especially middle class parents and families, in the state of Alabama who can't afford the private schools in their area as well. And so they want to make a change, but they can't do it financially. And this allows them to direct a portion of the income tax that they're already paying for the purpose of educating their child on an annual basis.
Stephanie, we're short on time here. Before I let you go, folks want to read this report and want to check out anything else going on at the Alabama Policy Institute. How can they do so?
You can find the full 47-page report on alabamapolicy.org. We're also going to do a one-pager, which I didn't get down to one page, but it's really a two-pager that we're going to put out if people want to hit the highlights. And everyone can feel free to ask us questions on social media or shoot us an email.
Stephanie Oldsmith, the Alabama Policy Institute, ladies and gentlemen. Stephanie, thanks for making time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.